Welcome, everyone, to the podcast with a K from Casterbis. I'm Christian Corley, editor-in-chief and all-round god of Casterbis, and with me is associate editor and all-round skivvy, Brian Terranova. Hello, Brian.
Wow, what an intro. Hello, Christian.
How are you doing? You all right?
Oh, I am fantastic.
Excellent. What do you want to talk about today?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
I think so. What do you think?
Shall we do Talents of Wang Chung?
Yeah, we could talk about Talents
of Wang. David Tennant?
We could talk about that too.
Yeah. What about if we do a little bit of chatting about Big Finish?
I love Big Finish. I'm always down for that.
Yeah. Shall we have a little chat about your toys as well?
You are fascinated by my toys, aren't you?
Absolutely fascinated by your immense Doctor Who toy collection. I am indeed.
I couldn't refuse that.
Okay. And do you know what else I want to do?
What's that?
I want to stick a couple of songs in as well.
Oh, no, you're just getting way too crazy, I think.
Yeah? Do you reckon? Oh, well, come on then. Let's carry on. We'll talk about David Tennant.
All right, let's do it.
So, Brian, we're halfway through the year, and we've got 3 episodes of David Tennant left.
Yes. Yes, I know, and that... honestly, that makes me very sad.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. I really like David Tennant. I don't want to see him go anywhere. I understand, you know, obviously being a Doctor Who fan, that's the nature of the show. That's what's going to happen. But I'm just not quite ready to watch him go. Plus, I wanted to see what Moffat would do if get out of that RTD world and see what Stephen Moffat could do for the character.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it would have been great to see him spread over multiple producers, multiple showrunners, in much the same way as, you know, Tom Baker had 3 or 4 producers.
Right. And I wonder if that's something we'll even see again in the new series, to be honest. But, you know, as it is, David Tennant chose to only work with Russell, and it was a good run. There's flaws in it, much like any other season, but David obviously shined in every episode. I don't think he's ever had a bad episode.
There's a couple that aren't so good, but like you say, on the whole, I think certainly the last series he was excellent all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he's also made so much out of the part outside of Doctor Who as well, hasn't he?
Oh yeah, he's definitely been one of the, you know, since Tom Baker, I don't think I've seen a Doctor be quite as active outside the film studio as David Tennant.
Yeah.
You know, he's maybe not living the parts in the streets the way Tom Baker did, but he's certainly out there promoting it left, right, and sideways. It's very good. It's very nice and refreshing to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no popping around people's houses while Doctor Who's on to see how it turned out.
Hmm.
Imagine being that family. That would have been great, wouldn't it?
That would have been awesome, absolutely.
But, you're absolutely right. David's done a lot of ambassadorial work for Doctor Who, which is good to see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he loves the show, clearly. He's been a fan before.
Yeah.
He's done many of the Big Finish plays. He got himself into the Scream of Schalke, all because he was a fan, and he just wanted to do something on the show. Or for the show, for his fan needs, essentially, and here he gets the best fan gig ever, which is actually taking over the title role. And I have enjoyed his performance. You know, his stories are one thing, you know, the writing for the new series has been questionable at times, but his performance, I've just completely enjoyed him the whole time.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. Just one last thing then. Obviously, Big Finish can only use Doctor's 4 or 5 through to 8.
Mm-hmm. 5 through 8 is what they had the rights to do more, but obviously Tom Baker has not been willing so far.
Of course. Do you foresee David Tennant ever popping up in a Big Finish play as a different character?
Well, so far he's done a few plays as different characters. He's even reprised one character, which is Colonel Brimcombe Wood of Unit.
Okay.
And he spanned from the Unbound universe into their Unit series. I definitely see that he would make a return at some point whenever I'm sure his schedule allows. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to ever see him actually get to play the Doctor in the plays just due to the rights that they have permission to.
Yeah.
Be nice to see, because I'll bet you anything he would do it.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I don't think his days with Big Finish are over. I think he's just got to distance himself from Doctor Who for a little while.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, we'll move on from that into a tune. The unmistakable sound of Atomic Karma with Alien Radio.
Okay, and we're back.
Yeah, well, just carrying on really from the David Tennant thing that we were just talking about before the tune there. Big Finish are obviously a fantastic group of people who do some absolutely fantastic productions.
Yeah, they've really taken a TV show that was very limited in the way it could tell stories, essentially due to budget reasonings.
Yeah,
and move them into what I like to call big Hollywood budget films. Now they still tell smaller stories, but whenever they feel like telling a grand story, such as the one of the most recent ones, The Enemy of the Daleks.
Yeah.
You get a sense with the sound effects that they use, the music that they use, and the situations that you are watching a huge Hollywood budget film. And the beauty of it, I mean, the imagery is all there in the dialogue, but it's done so smoothly in most cases that you don't even notice it. It's just putting the images right into your head. It's brilliant. They're so great to listen to.
Yeah, they are absolutely fantastic. I mean, I've recently been listening to... you'll have to help me out here. What have I been listening to?
The Mahogany Murders.
Jeez. I listened to the Mahogany Murderers, yes, but I also listened to World Wide Web and the...
Oh, The Eight Truths.
The Eight Truths and World Wide Web.
Right, right.
I haven't quite finished World Wide Web yet. Well, that is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that one was very good too.
Now, obviously, we're not allowed to say what happens at the end of that, because World Wide Web and The Eight Truths and World Wide Web aren't released on CD until September.
Right.
So we'll avoid giving away what's going on in there. But fantastic bit of storytelling.
Yes.
As you say, big production, big kind of movie-style disaster thing going on.
Sure, absolutely.
Nice bit of intrigue and good casting as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's the one thing. They're very good with the casting. They generally cast like pretty much 100% perfectly, and they like to go for a lot of actors who had a past Doctor Who experience, which isn't to say that they limit themselves to that, because they go after a lot of talent wherever it is, but it's fun to hear a lot of people who were previously involved with the show still staying involved with the show.
Yeah, one of there was obviously a few people in it was nice to see Stephen Moore, who's kind of well-known in some circles British character actor. He was in The Eight Truths.
Sure.
And also Sanjeev Bhaskar from The Kumars at Number 42. And what's the other show he did? The Goodness Gracious Me. And he's currently starring in a rather not so good situation comedy called Mumbai Calling on ITV. I guarantee that what the work he's done on this daughter is of better amusement quality than Mumbai Calling, which is, if you don't know, set in an Indian call center. But as you said before, there's also the Mahogany Murders, which I listened to recently and reviewed on Casterbris, which obviously starred, it was a reunion of Christopher Benjamin as Jago from Talons of Wang Chung.
Right.
Trevor Baxter, who obviously played Professor
Lightfoot,
thank you.
You're welcome.
in the same absolutely superb story. And listening to it, you wouldn't think that the two guys hadn't even seen each other in 32 years, never mind worked together in 32 years. It's as if they got placed in the studio, or by all accounts, this is what happened. They got placed in the studio and walked straight back into the roles effortlessly.
Which is a beautiful thing to hear people just like waltz back into a character after such a long time, which of course, you know, we've heard with the Doctors and Companions, but for two characters like this, who are two one-off characters from a brilliant episode from the show's past, I mean, two characters very deserving of a story all their own. So it definitely was a treat, and a very unexpected treat to actually have them pop up in their own Companion Chronicles in that way. I guess they're in a sense like honorary companions, you know. They filled the bill in that episode.
Whenever you think of Talons of Wang Chung, you think of those two, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely were two of the classic duos, double acts in Doctor Who's history. They definitely both of them had some great moments together. They were both really, really well fleshed out characters.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with that. I mean, and I think there's so much about them, so well-rounded characters from the original, which I think probably gave the writer of Mahogany Murders, who I think was, I should know the name of this, Andy Lane, of course. He's done such a marvellous job of just like pulling all these little strands out that are hinted to, or you know, the nuances in the original characterizations, and brought us an absolutely great drama with you know two people in it talking for an hour. It's superb.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive what they can do with that range. I have to admit that my general feelings, I tend to go toward the fully casted plays. But I have listened to a few of the Companion Chronicles, and they work very well. It's not at all like a book on tape. It's very much like in some cases, like someone's having a conversation with you, telling you the story that happened. Like you're there, you're a part of it.
Mahogany Murders is the only one of the Companion Chronicles that I've listened to so far. Obviously, you've got the two main characters, you've got the barmaid, but it's like you're listening in this particular situation to the two guys chatting rather than someone telling you something. Is that how the other ones are? Are they more someone telling you?
Well, pretty much some of them are usually like they tend to have like a narration type feel. And another one that I've heard pretty much, I want to say narration is the proper way, but it's not narration as in, let me read you the book and tell you what's happening. It's narration as in, this is the story so far, and you know there's generally two actors at least in the Companion Chronicles, which separates it from books on tape.
Right.
They do act out certain parts, certain scenes, and it makes it very interesting. And that the very first one that I heard actually was with Fraser Hines playing Jamie, recounting an adventure to a nurse. So it was actually Jamie speaking to a nurse at his bedside. Of what happened, you know, he in the story he got struck by lightning, so he was able to remember the events that had happened to him.
Right.
With the doctor, because obviously it had been erased from his memory. So through that, it's sort of like you said, it's sort of like you're in the hallway listening to Jamie tell this nurse this story, and not that this narrator is speaking directly to the listener.
Right.
And so it's unique in that sense. It's interesting in that sense, and it's. it's actually way more enjoyable in that way, and I can certainly enjoy the Companion Chronicles in a very different way from the fully casted plays.
That sounds great. I think I might have listened to that one myself, actually.
That was very good, yeah.
Yeah, I will do. So, if just going back to Talons of Wang Chung, that is actually the last Doctor Who that I watched on DVD, on BBC DVD, watching Tom Baker at his best.
Absolutely.
In what is most definitely, without a doubt, one of the best Doctor Who adventures that there is in terms of performance, script, and the production is marvellous. You could possibly, at a stretch, with a little bit of clever editing, you could get away with broadcasting that now, I think.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think so. I mean, all the props and the sets, I mean, due to probably the classic setting, or the period setting, definitely, yeah. It just looks immaculate. I mean, sure, you have the dragon sculpture at the end, but it looked brilliant, I thought. It looked very well.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it didn't look like foam, which it was. Even the Peking homunculus, it was good. It was supposed to look like a puppet, so they got away with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, he's marvelous, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so...
It definitely
speaks volumes for what Doctor Who could have done and could have been like if they gave the care and attention to every episode the way they did that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more about that. And you know, you just sit there and you're watching it and you're completely engrossed in it. There's nothing in there that kind of breaks the illusion of being in the 19th century in a smoky, Victorian, foggy, cold London.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can compare it to The Unquiet Dead in terms of the atmosphere. If you haven't seen Talons of Wang Chung, then the atmosphere that is in there is, you know, it's similar to what you get in The Unquiet Dead.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
The Christopher Eccleston story from 2005.
Right.
And it's a great villain as well.
Mm-hmm.
In John Bennett as the great Lee Sin Chang. And of course, you've got Christopher Benjamin and Trevor Baxter as Jago and Lightfoot.
Right, but you even have the character Magnus Greel being from the 51st century, which for fans of the new series, it kind of has ties back to Captain Jack and nearly every story that Stephen Moffat has told. With the exception of one, has had ties to the 51st century, you know. So it's kind of in a way a little tied to the new series in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's interesting. Isn't it? It's a pretty neat thought to think about it. One day, maybe Magnus Greel could make an appearance. You know,
there's an article in that, you know, Brian.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We will do that. I have to say though, sadly, going back to the production values, the only thing that lets down Talons of Wang Chiang is the giant rat.
The giant rat. Well, that's what I was saying. A little bit of clever editing, I think. Correct. You could get around the giant rat.
But that said, I had forgotten completely about it until just now in this part of the conversation. So it's thankfully not a huge, huge aspect of the script that they focus too much time on. I mean, and really, forget clever editing. They should have cleverly just shot that scene. But aside from that, that's the only great. That episode was just fantastic. Fantastic characters. Everybody had such life. Everybody was a character. They weren't just a person performing the needs of that scene. You know, they were all a very alive character.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you haven't got it, go out and buy it on DVD because it is fantastic.
Well said.
Thank you. And it's time for a new tune.
Can't plug anything in, 'cause there's no socket in. Oh, well.
That was Elvis Died in Space by Burning Autumn, with our very own Brian Terranova on guitar. It ties in nicely with the earlier track of Alien Radio. Okay. So I was wandering aimlessly through the internet yesterday when I discovered that Woolworths, the popular high street store here in the UK that folded before Christmas, I think it was before Christmas or maybe just after Christmas, they're back online. Someone bought the name. They've they've opened a website called Woolworths.co.uk, and they have a massive three Doctor Who items in the toy department, which I thought was absolutely disgraceful. And I thought to myself, how on earth would Brian Terranova cope if he went into a high street store for a Doctor Who toy and found they only had three? And he had them all.
It would not be a pretty scene, that's for sure. There would be lots of crying.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit of passing out and maybe throwing tantrums at the store trying to figure out why my favorite toys weren't there.
Yeah, now this is the tantrums. The tantrums is what I want to know more about.
Yes. I'll tell you, it can be extremely frustrating trying to find the figure that you're looking for online, because they don't quite make it easy. I mean, forget Woolworths and their three little figures that they have in the store. I mean, just look at Character Options. They make some fantastic toys.
Yeah.
However, at the San Diego Comic-Con this year, they're going to be unleashing three exclusive figures. Both a color and black and white version of the First Doctor.
Yeah.
Then the same for the Second Doctor.
Yeah.
And then a Sixth Doctor in his blue suit from the real-time BBC webcast.
Yeah.
And they're going to be exclusive. Now, they're unlike last year, they have announced that not only would it be at the SDCC these three exclusives will be unveiled, but also at Forbidden Planet in the UK, there would be the counterparts of those exclusives there as well, whereas last year Time Crash was supposed to be exclusive to America.
Right.
In any event, they only made such a limited run because they're classic figures and they're exclusives, and somebody has to pay for those exclusives, and it's not Character Options, per se. So, trying to find them was nuts. On the site that I buy my figures from, they sold out the Time Crash set in 12 minutes.
12 minutes?
12 minutes. They went out, like, you had to keep refreshing the site. It was ridiculous. And they had, well, now they only had like 300 some odd numbers there. I mean, so the SDCC, of course, had like, over 1,000 or a few thousand or something stupid like that. And I know that they lasted the whole weekend and people are still able to find them on eBay. But I mean, imagine the first, let's look at that set, the Time Crash set, first of all. David Tennant was in it and the Fifth Doctor was in it.
Yeah.
Both released in other ways, just repainted variants.
Yeah.
Okay. But you could still get the figures other ways. The Fifth Doctor in this set had the celery, so obviously it made him very attractive to people. But the First Doctor and the Second Doctor, they're only going to be released in this exclusive set so far as we've been told. So imagine all the Doctor Who toy fans out there trying to buy this same set. It's going to be madness.
Oh, absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be so hard to get a hold of. And it's one of those things where you're like, man, you know, I just wanted to collect these toys. I just wanted to have all the Doctors sitting on my shelf. You know, I've wanted them since I was a kid. Yes, I'm an adult buying toys, but it's one of those things that you never got to do, so you want to do it now. But how hard is it going to be to have all the Doctors if they're not going to make them all widely available, you know?
That is absolutely. That's going to be there's going to be a lot of people getting very upset, and I foresee...
Absolutely.
I foresee, with the power of the future, there's going to be some high-priced figures on eBay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's the other bad thing. Hopefully, most sites that pre-sell them last time, didn't really have a limit what you can buy. And I think this year, they're putting a limit, like you can only buy two or three at a time or something like that, which still,
yeah.
You know, I get the two. You know, one person likes to open one of the sets and keep one in the package. If you're that type of person, fine, I get that mentality. But most of the people are buying multiple sets with the intent of just putting them on eBay to make a quick buck on them.
Uh-huh.
Which I have to say, speaking of Woolworths, getting it back to your Woolworths and their three little figures online, Woolworths did have an exclusive Doctor Who line as well. One of which was a glow-in-the-dark Gelf figure, which is the grandmom that we saw in the intro of the episode.
Yeah.
And then I also just recently purchased on eBay Captain Jack Harkness Series 1 with the exclusive cap, his hat,
yeah,
from the episode. And, it's one of those things where I paid what I was willing to pay, and quite frankly, it was a pretty darn good price for the figure, for an exclusive figure like that. But you sit here and you're like, it's just a hat. I just bought this hat, you know, like, sure, it looks good on the shelf, but man, you realize what you just went crazy for. And it's going to be quite different with the first two Doctors, but if I went on eBay just to find a hat, imagine what people are paying, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make another prediction. Okay, not only are people going to be flogging these first and second Doctors in black and white and in color on eBay for astronomical prices, I also predict that the first and second Doctors will be available as non-exclusives, because there's absolutely no way in a worldwide downturn that Character Options are going to dispose of the molds.
You know, that's a pretty good bet. I mean, they spend a lot of money on the molds and the sculpts.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we were told by Character Options is that the line has to be viable. People have to be buying it in enough money to support the amount of figures that would be made. The classic waves, unfortunately, are in danger of maybe not seeing past the second wave, which we haven't even seen yet.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have the seventh and the eighth Doctors in it. And I hear word that the third Doctor is going to be exclusive to another company somewhere. So eventually all the Doctors will be available, but the first three will be highly exclusive. And we're not sure if there's actually going to be a wave two of the classic figures because, we're not five-year-old kids who want to buy the toys. We're collectors.
Yeah.
We're apparently not the mass market.
I don't think you need to be worried about getting hold of them. I think they will be available at some point. Do you know what I want to see, though? Do you know what I want to see? Someone bring back the old pewter Doctor Who chess set.
Oh yeah, that was beautiful. That was expensive though.
Yeah, it was. I think it was like £15 a piece, and that was 15 years ago. So
right.
That'd be a lot more.
Yeah, I remember looking at that. That was a good set.
Yeah, I would love that. And on that brings us to the end of this first podcast of 2009. Brian, what have we been doing?
Oh, saving the universe, I think, right? Haven't we? We've been a little busy.
Well, yeah. Bits and bobs, I suppose. We really should have got our fingers out a bit more. And we'll certainly try and make it a lot sooner between this and our next podcast. So thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye, Brian.
Goodbye, Christian.
And goodbye, everyone.